Hello, my name is Deb, and I am here with my dear friend Linda. And guys, we have something really great to talk with you about today that is life-changing. Mm-hmm. It is life-changing. And if you've been around Help Club for Moms, you know Linda, you know she's written some amazing content. A lot of it you wrote about overcoming fear. You've written things about how to hear from God. You've written so many amazing things because this is your passion.
Yeah. It's what's, you know, sustained me over the last 2 years of difficulty and trial in my life. And so I want to pass it on to you guys.
It's the most important thing. Knowing how to hear from God, mm-hmm. how to encounter Jesus in our everyday lives. And if you know Linda's story, you know that she and her amazing husband, Mike, have been walking through a really hard season the past 2 years.
Yep.
He had a brain tumor, very serious brain tumor. They didn't think he was going to make it. And I have watched my friend Linda change right before my very eyes into this amazing woman who walks with God and loves helping other people to know how to walk with God. And so I'm really thankful that you're here.
Yeah,
I'm so glad she's my friend and she lets me drag her into these things that we do on social media. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. How can you encounter Jesus in your everyday life, right? Our day in and day out life.
Yes.
It can be tempting for us to feel alone in the Christian life. It's tempting for us to feel that God is not with us. Where is he when bad things are happening? Where is he when good things are happening? Why do I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the walls? You know, let's talk about that today. And so, Linda, if you were saying one thing, just right out the gate, talking about this subject, encountering Jesus, mm-hmm. it's life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's biblical.
Absolutely.
And this is not out there. Like we were wondering, you know, because some people in the church thinks that it's kind of out there, that this is not a normal thing to be able to hear from God, to be able to
see
him in your mind's eye, in your inner man, have that relationship with him, but it is possible. So can you explain to where people know that this is biblical, being able to encounter Jesus is biblical. And so let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to take you to John 14 and John 14, 19 says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me," and that's all of you, right, "will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." And he says it many, many times. Actually, in the verse before that, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And even in John 15 and John 16, if you read through it, you'll see instances where he says, you know, "I will come to you. You will see me."
And some people say he was just talking to that group. Mm-hmm. And tell them what you told me earlier. It's such a great, if people ever say to you that, well, Jesus was talking to these people, and some of it is, I mean, we have to definitely look at the scene, the everything to understand it accurately. But what you just said to me earlier was so good.
Yeah, so there's many layers to scripture, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus.
So as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah, and so he's gonna illuminate, he's gonna give revelation to you as you read his word. And there's many, many layers of meaning to the scripture. The scripture is alive and active, right? And
it says that in Hebrews 4.
Exactly. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so if you actually use that interpretation of he was only talking to the disciples, well, all of the red letter portions where Jesus is talking, he's talking to somebody, and it's not, you know, it wasn't you back in the day, but he's talking to you now, right? We accept that as, you know, revelation. And so that's what this passage is. It was for them. It's also for us. And I know because I've seen Jesus. And it's changed me, right? And in the Bible, Paul had an encounter that changed him. It was Saul. It changed him to Paul, right? And he became the greatest persecutor of the church to the greatest apostle of the church, of the early church, and the spreader of the gospel.
And people would say, oh, well, that's only for Paul. Only Paul has encounters with Jesus because Paul had this great work to do, and that doesn't apply to us. Oh, no. I just want to go off. All right. So how would you explain that?
It's not just Paul. It's literally Moses had an encounter with God in the burning bush that changed
him. But that's Moses, right? That's Moses.
Right? Well, the whole Bible, these are all of, we're grafted into this family, right? This is our new DNA. When we come into the family of Christ, we become in this line of more than conquerors. And that's who we are. Yeah. So we have the spirit of Jesus within us. We have the mind of Christ. We are able to see him. We're able to encounter him.
That's so good, Linda.
Yeah. Okay. And it still changes us today, every day.
Every day. Yeah. Okay. So what do we mean by encountering Jesus? We want to talk to you about this because this can change your life. Mm-hmm. So encountering Jesus, you can encounter him in your memories of trauma or bad memories. You can encounter him in your good times that you go through today, or you can think about a good memory. But let's explain this. So when you say, and Linda's been writing this whole series this week at Help Club, and it's on our website at helpclubformoms.com. It's on our podcast at the Help Club for Moms podcast, okay? And so all of this content is written out for you, and it's just tipping. It's like scratching the surface. This is just very small, and Linda's going to write more and put, you know, have more aspects to it. But right now, it's just something to just give you an idea that you can, in your mind's eye, in your heart, you can see Jesus, and it can change you. So why don't you give us, I'm sure there might be another scripture that you want to say. I love that one that you just read because it says, you will see me. And can you give me an example? I have an example too, but can you give me an example? You said you talked to a friend of yours and she wanted you to walk her through how to see Jesus. And so how did you do that?
It was actually so, so easy. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to be able to see him.
You say see him, what do you mean?
In your mind's eye.
So,
yeah, I mean, there are people, but there's very few of them that can see the spiritual world with their eyes, their physical eyes. So, so for me, it's always helpful. I just close my eyes. Mm-hmm. I ask Holy Spirit to come. You know, I ask him to take me to a memory. It could even be from today, or it could be even right now. And I would say, I've done this with my kids a lot. We'll sit there and we'll say, all right, Jesus, where are you right now? And you have to be in your mind. You have to go to that place. Like, even if it's right now, I can imagine, I can close my eyes. I know Deb's sitting next to me. I know the room, and I can imagine what it looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like, what, you know, all the things. And so when you're established in that memory, then you ask him where he is in that memory. And when you see Jesus, take really good note of what he looks like. Like his actual physical features, the expression on his face, like his posture. Where is he? What's he doing? Is he holding you? Is he sitting right next to you? Is he looking at you with just delight? You know, what is the expression on his face? I'm sure you guys all know this, but you know, it's one thing to know about someone, right? Like let's say you and your spouse are long distance dating and you're connected by a friend, and your friend calls you up and says, hey, I know this great guy and he's like this. And she'll just list out a list of attributes and you say, well, he sounds great. And you know, you might even be able to imagine kind of what he looks like. And then you get you connect, you talk on the phone, you get to know, you know, from himself, from his own mouth, what he's like. That's like hearing God, right? Hearing God is wonderful. You can get to know him that way. It's a whole nother ball game when you meet him. When you meet him in person and you get to see all the things, you get to see his expression, you get to see his body language. And in these encounters with Jesus, he can speak to you as well, right? So you get to just, it's a full experience with Jesus. And it really gives you his heart for you. You begin to understand that. You begin to get his perspective for you, for your circumstances, for maybe the people that are in the room with you. There's so much. There's unlimited possibilities when you know how to encounter Jesus.
And this guy's is using your imagination for good and not evil. Mm-hmm. How much of the time do we use our imagination for evil? So we're thinking prideful thoughts about ourselves. We're thinking angry thoughts about someone,
worrying
thoughts, anxious thoughts, and those are okay. But they're not okay, right?
They're not okay.
But I'm just saying, like, with what we were talking about earlier, this could be criticized by people and talking about that this is too out there to talk about encountering Jesus, but it's not. We are using our God-given imagination for good and not evil. We're using our imagination for God's purposes in our lives to further our growth with Him, to go deeper with Him, to know Him more. And so when you are thinking about these things, she's going to give you an example. You're thinking about Him in your mind, and you're using these experiences to help you to go deeper with God and to be closer to Him and to feel Him with you to where you don't feel alone.
Right.
So give me an example from your friend, a good thing, a good memory, and a good little memory that she had, and do the bad one first.
Sure. So actually, I'll just give you one from my own you know, situation. One day I went to a conference, and it was about heart healing. And to be really honest, I didn't really understand what the techniques they were talking about. So we had this big break, and it was a 6-hour break. And when we originally looked at the schedule, we were like, oh, I guess we'll just go back to our hotel. We'll just process things, whatever. Well, there was no break. It went straight from a session into kind of ministry time. And all of these other people that I was at this conference with knew these techniques. And so they're in their own thing with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and they're working through things with these techniques. And I sat there and I was like, God, I don't know what they're talking about. I said, would you come and do something? And sure enough, when you commit your imagination to Him, when you commit your whole self to Him, He's going to show up. So He showed up, and He took me to a memory. And it was a good memory for me, honestly. It was a peaceful memory. It was a place I like to get alone and be out in nature. And I was like, oh, I remember this place, Jesus. And I was just in that memory, and I was experiencing it and sensing all the senses, sensing what I was feeling in that moment. And then I saw Him. And I saw Him, and there He was. He was leaning against a tree trunk, and He was just like so peaceful and so joyful. And He was so happy to be there with me. And it made my experience, which even by myself was a good one, it made it so much better. Cause I was like, oh no, He was with me. Every time I went to that place, there He was with me. And He was enjoying watching me enjoying it. And He was so peaceful. He was so joyful. And then He took me through bad memories, and He showed me, you know, times where I was being hurt, right? And there He was. And He was almost always, He was embracing me. He had His hand on my back. He was rubbing my back. He was like, I'm here. I'm here. And His heart was breaking for me. And then just, it was so healing to know I was not alone in that moment of injustice, right? Of things being done to me or said to me that were unjust, that were hurtful, that He was there, and He was loving me through it, the whole way through it, He was there. And then He took me to shameful places where I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And I'm telling you, even as a parent, even as a good parent, when your kids are doing something they're not supposed to be doing, you're looking at them like, oh my goodness, I'm disappointed in you, right? There was not an ounce of that. Now, I do want to say He doesn't condone sin. He was not like, hey, that's good, keep going, right? But He was looking at me with so much compassion, just pure compassion. And to me, honestly, these were the most powerful and healing parts to me. Because you guys, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I think that's Romans 8:1. And it's true. It's true. Like, He died for all of that. He doesn't condemn us. He's for us. But to actually experience that and to see on His face that He doesn't condemn me, He was looking at me with such compassion. It moved me to tears. He was like, I know why you're doing that. I know that your heart hurts, and you're doing that out of a place of hurt. And so these were just so beautiful moments that He led me through. You guys, I sat there for 5 hours. It turned out to be 5 hours of Him taking me through memory after memory after memory, and just a whole mix of them. And it felt like half an hour. At the end of the 5 hours, I thought, well, that was half an hour. And they were like, no, it's time for dinner. You guys better leave for dinner, or you're not going to have time before the next session. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord. And He's that good. With God, when you're in the Spirit, time is... it's not the same. So, yeah, when I led my friend through a session, I said, well, would you think of a good memory? And she's like, sure. And she said, It was actually this morning. She goes, I woke up with a heaviness on my heart because of a certain circumstance that was difficult and felt impossible. And I felt him say, go listen to this podcast. And she said, I was in the kitchen. I was listening to this podcast. I was making pancakes for my little guy because he requested them. And I felt peaceful. That was a good memory. So I said, okay, can you put yourself there? Can you smell the smells? Can you feel it? Can you? And she was, yep, I'm there. And I said, now where is Jesus? And she started crying. And when she told me, I started crying. And guys, when Jesus shows up, you will cry.
You will cry. You will cry.
Yes. And even when you hear someone else tell you about when Jesus showed up, you'll cry. You saw Deb cry. And she said, you know, he was standing next to me in the kitchen. And she goes, he was throwing his head back and laughing. He had so much joy. And she said, not only did he have peace about the circumstance, he had joy. He was like, this is nothing for me. This circumstance that has you down, I've got it. It's nothing for me. So when you see Jesus in your circumstance, it gives you his perspective, right? Let's say you're filled with anxiety, right? Sometimes I get overwhelmed. I have so much stuff to do. I'm like, Jesus, help me. And if you ask him and you see him, is Jesus ever overwhelmed? I mean, that is a silly, you're going to see him and that peace is going to be transferred to you. I wanted to tell you guys something that I told Deb this morning. Yesterday, my brother-in-law's uncle we were at a Memorial Day family thing and he was talking to me about this and you guys, it's mind blowing. We all know this, right? We're all mamas. When you have a baby, a newborn baby, and you're nursing that baby, maybe babies love eye contact. They love to look deep into your eyes. What are they doing? They've done studies on this. They've put those little electrode caps on the baby and on the mama. And what's happening is there's a transference. There's a transference of the mama's, who mama is, into that baby. Because that baby is learning everything from you. And they're looking at you into your eyes and their brainwaves begin to match mama's brainwaves, right? So that's how they come to homeostasis. That's how they come to well-being, to balance, is by looking in mama's eyes to see if everything is okay. And your peace transfers to them. Some of who you are transfers to them. And I was telling Deb, even this weekend, my 11 and a half year old and I, we were in an unfamiliar circumstance. And she looked at me like, Mama. And she looked right in my eyes like, what's going on? Is it okay? And I looked right in her eyes and I said, it's okay. It's okay. Right. And all of our kids do that all throughout growing up. Even Deb, even your grown kids do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how they're learning. And that's how we are. We're growing up into Christ. And we're learning from him. And
when we look in his eyes, they'll explain that.
When we look into his eyes, some of who he is transfers to us. Okay. And you can go back into your memories from your past, painful memories, and you can heal them. He can heal. He touches a place in your heart and in your brain. They've actually done studies on this that can't be touched otherwise, because you're going back and you're actually experiencing. You're experiencing the experience over again, and you're getting a do-over with his perspective. And now that you know it, you can do it in the moment. You can do it going forward. You see him in the past, the present, and the future.
So I actually have an example of this recently with myself. And I wanted to say something. What you were just saying, you were talking about. Jesus is outside of time. Outside of time, he created time. So if you miss, I think it was me and Mary Jo, we did a podcast, How to Heal from Trauma. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that Jesus can go back in time and heal us. Now, we do need to bring that point up. We were talking about earlier, what do you do with all the evil in the world and why doesn't God heal us? And but when you go back in time, because he's outside of time, he can heal you. When you come to him and you ask him to heal you of trauma. But you had a great explanation about why bad things happen to good people. This is the elephant in the room, right, guys? We're always like, and people that don't believe in God are like, where was God when this happened to me? Or where was God when this bad thing happened? Mm-hmm. And you said something so good earlier, and I wanted you to say it.
Yeah, so bad things do happen. We live in a fallen world. People have free will. And, you know, honestly, I don't have all the answers. I wish I did. You know, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And in John 16:33, I believe, Jesus says to his disciples, in this world, you will have trouble. but take peace. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's absolutely the truth. Like we were talking to, he probably stops a lot of things from coming against us, but sometimes people make decisions, right? Sometimes brain tumors happen. Yeah. I have no explanation for it. You know, and even
you probably have thought that a lot.
Oh yeah. And in our story, you know,
he could have healed
Mike right away. But Mike's been through two brain surgeries. He's been through 28 sessions of radiation to his head. I don't like to think about it. But things happen.
Bad things happen.
And if you look back into your past, bad things have happened to you. I know they have. They've happened to all of us. But I want to tell you.
Well, wait, let me tell my story real quick.
Yeah.
Because I was so glad God brought this to my mind before we go into the how-tos. We're going to talk about the how-tos, okay, for you. So writing that stepmom, if you missed the stepmom study, go back and listen to it. But it was really actually hard for me to write because I had so much trauma during that time of my life when my parents got divorced and my dad got remarried. And there's this one, I actually really wanted to delete it when it came out. It's so hard to share your heart. Like to me, it is. It's very humbling. It's very humbling to share my story because it's kind of embarrassing. Do you know what I'm saying? But I did it and I just trusted the Lord with it. And one of the studies that I did last week was about the fact that spend time with your bonus kids, even if they act like they don't want you to spend time with them, because my parents got divorced. My dad remarried suddenly. I was living in an inner city, going to this inner city school that was a tough school. My dad was gone 2 weeks at a time, fishing on a fishing boat. He didn't need to do it, but he did it. He loved it. It was who he was. He loved it. But I was by myself with my stepmom that didn't like me, and she didn't even know me, and she hid in her room and watched TV all the time. So I was living my life by myself, right? I was 12, 13 years old. And I remember going to this new school, and these girls chased me in the bathroom with these sticks, and I had to shut the bathroom, like the stall, you know, I was hiding because they were the yardsticks. They were trying to hit me really hard with these sticks, the new girl, right? And so they started hitting my feet underneath the stall, and I jumped up on the toilet seat, and then they started reaching over the top, trying to hit me on my head. It's a hard story to tell, but then I went home and I had no one there, no one, right? My stepmother didn't want to talk to me. And so I was processing through this thing that happened to me that day all by myself. And so the next day I took a bunch of pills and I tried to kill myself. But this is the part of the story why I know that this works. We can all go back in our past and ask Jesus to heal us from things. And it does work. So hold that thought about my memory, about taking those pills and trying to kill myself after being bullied and all the stuff that I went through with my family and the divorce. A year and a half earlier, my grandmother and her friends at her church, I was visiting her. My mother was the one that was flipping out and doing all kinds of things that she shouldn't be. That was her daughter. And my grandmother and her friends, and guys, if you are in children's ministry or if you know anyone in children's ministry, get this word out to them. What they do matters immensely, okay? So my grandmother and her friends had this anointing oil. It was just olive oil. And they're like, hey, you have a cold, Debbie. We're going to pray over you. And I was like, I don't have a cold. In my mind, I'm thinking, there is something not right with this scenario, right? But she wanted to pray over me is what she wanted because she knew her daughter was doing all the stuff she shouldn't and she knew my life was a mess. So my grandmother took this, it was that Pompeian olive oil, right? Yeah. That Pompeian olive oil, and she anointed me with oil with her friends. They started praying in tongues over me and in English, going crazy, like calling down fire from heaven. I don't know what they were doing over me, right? Like they were just calling out in tongues and praying over me and then speaking in English and praying over me. And I'm just sitting there, right? Just letting these women pray over me, feeling really awkward. But God has shown me that he ordained that moment for my grandmother and her friends to pray over me. Grandmas, your prayers for your grandchildren matter immensely. So that was number one. God was there with me. He was there when they were praying. He was there. But it got even better. Because I think because of those prayers, that's why if you're a childcare worker, you pray over those kids. You touch those seats where those kids are going to sit in that Sunday school class. You pray over those kids because, guys, it's going to change their lives. So the next thing that happened, God had my neighbor take me to Vacation Bible School about 4 months later. It was summer. I heard about Jesus for the first time. Right? I went to church with my grandma, but something clicked with me at this little Baptist church. I heard about Jesus. I made the walk down the aisle and I accepted Christ, right? So that happened. It's like 4 months. And then fast forward a year later to when my parents were divorced, I was all by myself in this other state and I had just taken all these pills. But because of my grandmother's prayers, because I was saved at that Vacation Bible School, I got in the shower and I called out to the Lord. And I'm telling you guys, when you pray over these kids, you are teaching them. You're praying over them. I'm sorry, you're not teaching them. When you pray over your Vacation Bible School kids, when you pray over your own children, God will order their steps. And that's what I felt God doing that day. And this is where I saw him with me, Jesus, in the shower, and I knew he was with me. And going back in time after talking to Linda about this and wanting to heal from that memory that's really broken. And I went back in time and in my mind, I went back in time and I saw myself in the shower after taking the pills, started bawling, asking Jesus to forgive me for what I had just done and then saying, help me. That's all I did in the shower. But in my mind, I went back and I saw him with me. Holding me, loving me in that moment. And do you know, this is just even hard to talk about, but the next thing he did was he ordered my steps and he said, go talk to the counselor at your school and tell the counselor what you did. And so I told her and I said, I took all these pills. And so then they came and picked me up in an ambulance and they did all these things to me, like pump my stomach or made me take stuff. I can't remember what it was, but I was alone, you guys. I had nobody there. My dad was out fishing. My stepmom didn't come to the hospital. She just called the Coast Guard. And I was all by myself having to go through this thing as a 13-year-old girl. But God was with me, ordering my steps and telling me whatever it is I had to do. I just remember sitting there throwing up over and over and over, whatever they gave me and doing this stuff to get this stuff out of my stomach. But God ordered my steps. But he was with me, and I see him even in my mind right now. I see Jesus sitting with me. I was by myself, and he was there telling me what to do and that you are okay. I'm with you, you know?
And isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
Doesn't that make all the difference?
It makes all the difference, yeah.
You see in your life that you were never alone.
Never alone.
And he says it in the Bible, but it's a different thing when you experience it.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. And I wanted to read in response to that question as well. When this first started happening, when my personal crisis started happening like 2 years ago, I sat down and I asked God for an inheritance word. And I would encourage you all to do this. God, give me a word for over my whole life or over this specific circumstance that I'm facing. And he gave me Isaiah 43. And this is what it says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then he goes on to say, you are precious and honored in my sight. And I love you. And here's the thing. He didn't say you're not going to have to go through the fire. Mm-hmm. This is life, you guys. We go through fires. He didn't say you're not going to have to go through the waters, but he said, I will be with you. And you will not be burned, right? You will come out and you can come out with your, and you can say, it is well with my soul, right? And my shirt today, it even says, he restores my soul. And this is what it means. Like he restores your emotions. He goes back through that trauma. And trauma, you guys, you might think, I don't have any trauma in my life. Trauma is anytime you have felt alone. Mm. Right? And
misunderstood, powerless. Right. There's exactly. So many hurt, so many things.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, wait. Can I say something about a good moment? That this is a good moment.
Please, yeah.
So I have a good moment where I see Jesus. And it was this morning, and I do have this vision of Jesus, because you guys know, if you've been around Help Club, you know, you actually started me doing this. Linda and I, back with COVID, we started worshiping at my house. She would come over, we would sing songs together and worship. And then I started doing it every day. You do it every day. And now I'm down in my basement in the morning, and I get this picture of Jesus every morning, and he's standing there looking at me, and he's in a blue robe. And I think it's always blue because, in my mind, the Holy Spirit's blue. I don't know why I think it's blue. It's just blue. It's a thing between me and God. It's very special to me that I see blue all the time, and he's wearing blue. And then this morning I asked him to come closer. No, this morning I said, show me the way you really are. Show me Jesus. And you guys, you can talk to him like this. He's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Guys, take the boxes off of your relationship with God. Yeah. Don't get steeped in religion. Get out of it. Run away from it. Get it off of you. It's just our relationship with Jesus. Yeah. It's one-on-one, right? And so this morning I said, Jesus, show me the way you really are. And it was really sweet because I saw him radiating this beautiful blue color. It was his Holy Spirit. And then I asked him to come be near me this morning. And I just saw him in my mind's eye. It's just inside. And I saw a picture of him. Then I asked him to come closer to me. And it's funny because I'm singing and I'm facing this direction sideways because of my mind moving towards where he is in that room. And then I start crying. I start singing, I exalt thee. And I felt his presence because in my mind, I was focusing on him. My mind wasn't wandering. I was seeing him and I was feeling him holding me. It wasn't really like, I don't feel him, but I feel him in my spirit.
Yeah. And it's
so it's good and bad, good and through the hard times and the good times.
Exactly. I want to read you guys this verse from 2 Corinthians 16 through 18. And it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So how do we reflect him? We're looking at him, right? We're looking at him. We're beholding him. And maybe you guys have heard about the biblical principle of what you behold, you become. I was just telling Deb this. If you go back and read the story of Jacob when he was tending his father-in-law Laban's flock, how he became a wealthy man is that he went to Laban and he said, I will take all your spotted and striped goats and sheep. Mm-hmm. And they were considered lesser, right? Not as pure as the ones without spot, without blemish. And what he did was he took these sticks and branches and he put nicks in them. So they had spots and they had stripes in them, and he placed them all in front of where the goats came and sheep came for water. And so as they were drinking, they were looking at these. They were looking at the stripes and the spots, and all the offspring they bore had stripes and spots. So you guys, it is the same in the spirit. What you behold, you become. And I don't know about you, but I want to behold Jesus.
I want to behold Jesus.
Become like Jesus. Yeah. So
give us an example how they could do something just in their everyday life, like with your children. I think if you explain it with your kids, I think that it's easy to understand. So tell us.
Yeah. So this, okay, when I looked back over my past, when Jesus led me through all those times, I thought, this is, it's just healing my soul. And had I known how to do this as a kid, my circumstances would probably have been the same, to be very honest, but my soul would have been whole because I would have had that skill. I would have known how to see Jesus and how to get his perspective on everything. And so this is so important, you guys. What an important skill to teach our kids. It's going to change everything for them. And so, I really urge you guys to do this with your kids. Do it with yourself first. You have to be able to do everything before you can pass it on to them. But,
Walk us through how you would do it, like praying, because you prayed over your friend, and
for yourself, for an adult.
So how would you pray? What would you ask God?
So I would first just pray and invite the Holy Spirit's presence, invite him to speak to me. I would pray over my imagination. I'd give it to him. And I just say, I just give it to you. Would you show yourself to me? You guys, in the Bible, he says, seek me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. It's a promise. So seek him with all of your heart. You know, set aside some intentional time and space and quiet and get with him, right? And so, you know, when you're still and you've asked him to come, just see what, ask him to take you to a memory. It could even just be like right now, just be like, would you show me where you are right now? You can go back in the memories and say, would you show me a memory? And it might be a good one. It might be a bad one. It's different for, I mean, Holy Spirit has a different agenda for each one of us, right? And go into that memory, or if it's the present, and feel all of what's going around. Like sometimes you can feel spiritually what kind of tension was in the room, or what kind of, you know, if there was like a resentment in the room or disappointment in the room, fear, feel all of it. You know, experience it, make sure you can see where you are, and then ask him where he is in that moment. And you wait till he shows himself to you. And actually, it usually is pretty quick. If you've committed yourself to him, you're going to see him, and then take really good note of what he looks like. Like what his posture is like, where is he? You know, is he touching you? How is he looking at you? What is he saying to you? What do his eyes look like? And if you can, try to look in his eyes, try to get that transference of who he was in that moment into your spirit. And I guarantee you, it'll heal you. So I do this with my kids. And a lot of times we'll just do an impromptu, hey, everyone, where's Jesus right now? And I tell you, the kids are they're so pure in heart, right? So in Matthew 6, the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I mean, you guys, if we're in him, we're the pure in heart. We've been cleansed. Like we can all see him. So I'll ask my kids, like, where is he? And then we'll go around and just everybody will share. And it's so beautiful to hear everyone's description.
What will they say? Well, like, how will you start this out with your kids?
Yeah. If it's in the present, we'll just go, hey, everyone, close your eyes. Now, everyone tell me, where do you see him? Where's Jesus right now? And they'll just have these beautiful answers, you know, like, and they'll tell me what he looks like. His eyes are like fire. I mean, a lot of times they say that, and that's literally in the Bible. I don't think they actually even necessarily know that verse, right? But his eyes are like fire. And sometimes they'll say he's glowing. All of him is glowing, right? And a lot of times, you know, if we're just doing it in the present, a lot of times he's really joyful. He's so joyful, mama. He's laughing, you know? One time I asked my 7-year-old, and he was sitting in the middle of my lap, and he's a big guy. All right. I go, where's Jesus? And he goes, oh, he moved over on one of my knees. I was sitting crisscross applesauce. And I was like, you're killing my knee. Oh. He goes, mom, he's sitting on the other knee. And I was like, okay, tell him to move over, baby. Cause I can't handle you on one leg. But, well, also we've done it, you know, if you go around the dinner table, this is just an easy way. And if you guys ever do the highs and lows of your day, you can find Jesus in the high and low of your day. That's what we did the first time. I said, tell me about the best part of your day. And they each went around and described in detail the best part of their day. And then I did it. And then I said, all right, now we're all going to close our eyes and we're going to see where Jesus was in the best part of our day. And so my daughter was finishing reading a book, and she said, Jesus was, he had his hand on my shoulder and he was looking over my shoulder to see the ending. You know, my son was running at recess. Jesus was running next to me, he said, and he had so much joy, you know, and they're going to describe him to you in detail. And it's so beautiful. And the first time that I did this with my kids, I closed my eyes and I was like, I'm going to give them some time. Maybe it'll take them a little time. And I was doing my own memory. I opened my eyes and they're all looking at me like, mom, finally. Ah! Like, finally. Because they see him so quickly.
Blessed are the pure in heart. I've never thought about that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yeah, you guys. I mean, it's all over scripture. I just think we've like not taken it literally. But Holy Spirit gave me that revelation. And he was like, no, I mean it literally, guys. And it's just been the best adventure ever. So I encourage you guys to start doing this yourself if you haven't already, and to start doing it with your kids. This is such an invaluable skill for them, life skill for them. And honestly, when I was talking to someone the other day, after I got this revelation at a conference and after he led me through this session, I was talking to one of my friends who was in a crisis. And I said, sir, what do you hear from God? And she said, no. And so I started telling her about hearing from God. And then I thought, wait a minute. The very first thing that happened after we had our really bad news was that he immediately started showing me himself. And I actually saw him before I ever heard from him. And it was so powerful. What I saw was I saw myself as a little girl, and I was sitting on his lap, and I was leaning my head against his chest, and he was holding me. And I saw that, and I saw another beautiful little picture. And I saw that for probably 6 months straight, because that's where I was. I was in such crisis, you guys, and I needed his strength. And he was showing me that he was there. So I encourage you guys to go on this journey. It's the most beautiful adventure.
It is the most beautiful adventure. Knowing Jesus is the most beautiful adventure ever. All right, why don't you pray for our friends that they can, hey, and go to helpclubformoms.com and you can read all of the devotions that go along with this. Okay, so it's more step-by-step on the website. Okay? All right, why don't you pray for us?
All right. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for every woman who's listening in on this broadcast. We thank you for them, for their families. We thank you for the good plans that you have for each one of them and for their children. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a good, good Father, that you have, that you go before us and that you hem us in from behind, that you even heal our memories, God, that you even heal every place in our heart. And God, I just thank you that you are with us always. And I just pray for each one of these women as they begin this journey of seeing you, of encountering you, Lord. I just thank you, first of all, that when we seek you with all of our hearts, you will be found by us, God, and that you say, ask and it will be given to you. So God, we come before you asking that you would show yourself to us, that you would encounter us, that we would be changed, that we would go from glory to glory, reflecting your glory, becoming more like you. So God, I pray for fruitful sessions with you, of encounter with you, for these women, for their children, for their families. I just thank you that they will be forever changed, that they will never be the same. And I just thank you that you are with us always, that we are now pure in heart, and that we will see you. And in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thanks for being here. I don't even know. I can't even see anything except I have my glasses on. But hey, share this video with your friends. Share it in a group. Share it with anyone. You never know what God is going to do, right? He uses social media like crazy. And he could bring someone to him, or someone could be going through a hard time and trying to make sense of it. Yeah. So, and just know we love you. And this will be on the podcast. We'll be putting this on Facebook too. And we love you. Have a wonderful day. And we're praying for you. And don't forget our giveaways that are on Facebook this week. We're doing giveaways to celebrate our new book, The Wise Woman Stays. We start that book next week. Okay? Wise Woman Stays. You can get it on Amazon for $11.99. Okay? All right. And oh, Zoom groups. I'm doing two Zoom groups. We're doing Zoom groups, all four of them all summer. It's like four of them, not all summer, but there's a daytime one and an evening one. And if you're interested in doing it, I lead the devotion time in that, but it's got a lot of our team members. You can contact us at admin@helpclubformoms.com. We'll put you on the list. Just send us an email, say, I want to be in the daytime group. I want to be in the evening group, and you can join. Okay. We'll send you the Zoom link. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love you. Love you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.